Very special guest joins us, Nirupama Rao. She's written a wonderful book on the China question, so many aspects of it. She joins us from the United States at this stage. Thanks, ma'am, very much for being with us. Are we losing ground to China as a result of the creation of no man's land or buffer zones, call them what you may? Ma'am, I think you're on mute. Can you just unmute yourself?
Thank you, Vishnu, for inviting me on the show. I've listened to the esteemed panelists with great interest and attention, and they've made very valid points. But Vishnu, I'd like to start by saying that all the spirited debate one hears around this issue these days seems to overlook the central fact that China is an effective occupation of over 38,000 square kilometers of Indian territory in Ladakh. And that problem has not gone away. The line of actual control, as we interpret it today, came into being as a result of the advances made in military operations by the Chinese forces during the brief conflict of 1962, whose 60th anniversary approaches. The Chinese say that the line of actual control in Ladakh, or the Western sector, as it's called in the terminology of the border dispute, approximates to their claim line of the border, as they define it, with the exception of Demchok.
Right.
Now, from the mid-1950s onwards, as the Chinese built the infamous Aksai Chin Highway, the creeping pattern of Chinese encroachment into our territory has already been established. Now, coming to the buffer zones, which is the subject of our conversation, really, even if we did not call them such, the question of creating a demilitarized zone along the LAC is not a new phenomenon, although it was articulated differently as a 20-kilometer zone of separation in the earlier days. It was discussed post-1962, but no agreement was ever reached. Essentially, what the two sides are now saying on these buffer zones is that neither will go into a specifically defined area in the interests of maintenance of peace and tranquility. And importantly, it is without prejudice. And remember this, it is without prejudice to the claims of either side. I'd like to emphasize that. Yeah. Neither side wins or loses here. It does not mean that the problem has gone away. Both sides will have to work on further tension reduction measures, and I trust they will. There are 5 agreements and protocols on the maintenance of peace and tranquility that both countries used as blueprints in the past. Maybe we need a new and updated, improved iteration of these understandings.
Ma'am, and you know, you would have direct knowledge of this as a former foreign secretary. Why did neither you nor other foreign secretaries or foreign ministers push to release new maps of the line of actual control? Wouldn't that have made clarity on this issue, you know, known to the Chinese, known to our people, known to everyone? What's there to hide? If that's what I mean, I don't get that.
I don't think we were engaged in any game of deliberate camouflage on this issue, Vishnu. When you talk of releasing a map or an alignment of the line of actual control, this has to be jointly agreed upon by both sides if such maps have to be released to the public. It's not a question of the public, you know, following us step by step along the way. We don't need really that kind of diplomacy between India and China. I just heard the UN Secretary General Antonio Guterres speaking in another context, not on India and China, about the need for discreet diplomacy, not megaphone diplomacy. We don't need megaphone diplomacy. But let me come to the subject you raised. Any alignment of the line of actual control cannot be a matter of extrapolation of alignments present on small-scale maps in the public domain using satellite data or interpretation by non-official sources about where the LAC lies. And LAC, to become a line of control, which is really the more formal definition of the word, has to be jointly and officially interpreted and agreed on by both sides. It has to be defined point by point by official experts, defined, delineated, and demarcated in as much detail as possible. My personal view, Vishnu, no offense meant, is that the media should not play judge, jury, and executioner on this subject.
Okay. disagree with you somewhat on that, but let's move on.
No, we'll agree to disagree.
Were you hopeful, ma'am, that the Prime Minister would meet the Chinese president in Samarkand post the Gogra Hot Springs disengagement? Question basically about the larger state of where the relationship lies.
Right. I'm glad you raised the larger state of the relationship. So taking that and referring to that context, I was never hopeful about a meeting really materializing. And let me also say again, coming back to my cry from the heart, policy is often held hostage by public opinion on such issues in democracies such as ours. But the Chinese, let me come to them, who wear a straight jacket at all times, should have loosened up, and their president could have walked the extra mile to extend a hand of neighborly goodwill to our prime minister. And India would not have spurned that, I feel. But I'm merely speculating. The stars in the India-China relationship today are by no means aligned. And the fog hasn't lifted, Vishnu.
No, it's not. Ma'am, do you believe that, and this is my final question as I wrap up the show, do you believe that our focus needs to move well beyond disengagement, as we've been talking about, to understanding, and no one's saying that disengagement is not important, obviously it is, but we need to understand and be better able as a country to effectively counter the Chinese infrastructure and military build-up in depth areas. We're talking about the LAC maybe 3 kilometers here on their side and on our side, but 20 kilometers behind, there's massive infrastructure build-up, of roads, besides weaponry and positions for armored formations and for artillery formations, air bases, etc. Isn't that what we should really be looking at?
Well, Vishnu, yes, I agree. Eternal vigilance is the price of liberty. But if the purpose of both sides is to prepare for war, as many in the galleries seem to be cheering for, I mean, we have to weigh these consequences very carefully. And I believe India and China would both stand to lose in the process of this heavy militarization and the buildup of such tensions. The focus, in my view, is now to secure disengagement in the pockets that remain along the LAC and then move on to the process of preparing a joint definition and delineation of disengagement along the entire alignment of the LAC in the western sector, I'm referring to, east of the Karakoram Pass. Now, that may sound a little heretical because we haven't really conceded that point about delineating any line of control or actual control east of the Karakoram Pass. Diplomacy is always a question of how we can come to mutual agreements in order to ensure that peace is maintained, not at any cost. Obviously, we have to weigh our interests, but let's not forget that there is a giant border problem between the two countries. There is an unsettled border of 3,488 kilometers between the two sides. So in the sound and the fury of breaking news cycles in our studios, let's not lose focus about the way this border problem keeps us bogged down. I think we need diplomacy, coming back to the point I made, quiet and discreet diplomacy to deal with this issue and avoid the megaphone.
All right, ma'am. Wonderful speaking to you. Thanks so much for talking a little bit also about the larger picture. And we really mustn't lose focus on that. But for now, it is disengagement, which is very much a process that is happening. The process in Depsang to the north hasn't yet started. Hopefully that will as well. Will the LAC ever become an LOC, which we have with Pakistan, which is more formalized? It's one step closer to a border. Or are we going to see this tension with soldiers really face to face? Because if that is to continue, that's really bad news. But hopefully the disengagement process will continue well. I'd like to thank you all very much for being with us.